from 11 to 2, it's the thing to do. You're listening to Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.
Joining me now is Doris Roberts, one of the five stars of the number one sitcom on television, Everybody Loves Raymond. Also a woman who was born here in St. Louis and looks back on her life all the way back to those days in her new book called Are You Hungry, Dear? Life, Laughs, and Lasagna. I'm hoping at some point she'll call me dear. Here is Doris Roberts. Hello, Doris.
Hi, Paul. Are you hungry, dear?
First of all, let me say, huge fan of the show.
Oh, great.
Just terrific. Must-see TV for us at our house on Monday nights.
Oh, good.
And also, I enjoyed reading the book, and I've got to ask you about a couple of things from that right off the bat. But first, let me ask about St. Louis. You were born here, but didn't really grow up here. Is that right?
No, I was born at St. Joseph's Hospital.
Yeah.
And then my mother went back to New York, where she was from, and I went with her.
Mm-hmm. And you're in New York today.
I am.
Visiting family or doing publicity or
what? Doing publicity for the book. Are you hungry, dear?
Yeah. Now, I understand that, speaking of being in New York and doing publicity, you were doing exactly that on 9/11. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, what was that like?
Oh, that was shocking and horrible.
Yeah.
We were on our way to do the Rosie O'Donnell show. We were brought in because we were beginning syndication.
Right.
And we were on our way to RCA building, and as we got out of the car and started to go into the building, hundreds of people were running out yelling, get out, because they thought that might be the next building to get hit.
Mm.
And then we just got back into the car and went to our hotel rooms and just hovered around the television set and didn't leave it at all.
Must have been especially shocking being a person who grew up in New York.
Oh, absolutely. And the smell, and you could see all of that. So that was shocking to everybody.
Yeah, but New York has rebounded pretty well now.
Oh, yeah, but there's a sense of it still.
Hmm.
You know, this has never happened to our country.
That's right, that's right.
It happens in European countries and all, but not here. I mean, friends of mine who were in London called me and said, how are you? Are you okay? And I said, yes, but you've lived your whole life with that.
Yeah. And unfortunately,
and the buzz bombs and all that sort of thing.
Unfortunately, now we all kind of live under that, hovering over our heads every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We will never know that kind of peace that we once had.
Let's talk about happier things like show business.
Let's talk about my book.
Yeah, let's talk about the book. In the book, you talk about how you got the role on the show and having to audition. And I was looking on the Internet Movie Database about your credits yesterday, and I think I counted more than 30 different series that you've guest starred on over the years. Did you have to audition for all of those?
Yep, most of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so you never reach a point in show business where you don't have to audition?
Well, I think I've gotten there now. I hope so.
I hope you have, too, yeah. I mean, after a...
I'll tell you something, Paul. If I don't get discovered once a year, it's a bad year.
Did you ever have to worry about the casting couch at any point in your life?
Absolutely. There's a section in there in the book about that.
Yeah. Who was involved in that? Anybody who we would know?
Lawrence Langer, the head of the Theater Guild.
Mm-hmm. Chased you around the couch, did he?
He sure chased me around, yeah.
Did he catch you?
Nope.
Did you get the part?
I wore him out.
Now, the book is subtitled Life, Laughs, and Lasagna. You actually grew up with a bed in the kitchen. Is that where you learned about food?
No, that's when I learned about the smell of fish cooking at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That was my grandfather.
Yeah, but you have turned into a pretty good cook. You've got some recipes
here. Yeah. My mother was a terrible cook, but I did learn about it through my first mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she was willing to tell me, but I'd stand behind her and watch her and try to be helpful.
Was she at all like Marie Barone?
Not far from it.
Is that right?
No.
Do you base any of what you do on her?
No, she was too mean.
Now, there are some who would say that Marie is fairly mean.
Well, no. Marie is a pain in the neck, and she's intrusive, and she's a control freak. She's all those things, but she does it through love. She wants her boys to have a better life.
Yeah, well, especially Raymond.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, on the show, Marie is always bringing in food.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of food on that show, and Peter Boyle, it seems to me, he doesn't have to eat anywhere else except on that set.
That's
because,
right.
Now, the food that you have on the set, is it good food that they make for you?
It is good food, yeah.
Really? It's edible?
Oh, very edible. Very delicious, yeah.
Do you ever cook anything and bring it in there? Or is that all craft service people?
That's craft service.
Yeah.
But it's really good stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes it fun to go to work. And what happens at the end of a scene when you made a whole lasagna and Peter Boyle's only eaten, well, in his case, it could be half of it. What happens to the rest of it?
Some of the stand-ins get to take it home.
Oh, that's nice.
That's sweet, yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. When you first got the role, after beating out, I think they had talked to you, you say in the book, they had talked to like 100 other actresses.
They read over 100 other actresses for the part, yeah.
And then they finally got to you. Were you upset that you weren't in the top 100 of people who were
called? I was confused. But I was so busy directing a play
right.
at the time that I didn't give it much thought.
And when you went in, you say in the book that you really kind of just went in and you were...
Off the top of my head.
Just winging it.
Yep, winging it and also just following my gut instincts.
Mm-hmm. And got the role. And
I got it, yeah.
And then, were you cast before Peter Boyle or how did that happen?
No, I think Peter was cast just before me.
Is there any worry about that when you take a role, you know you're going to be playing this guy's wife and this guy's mother?
Oh, that would be great, yeah. No, I had no problems about that.
None whatsoever?
I love the writing in the script. I mean, the scene in the pilot script of the Fruit of the Month Club, I think, is a classic.
So it wasn't hard to develop a relationship with these folks?
Not at all. No,
yeah.
Not at all.
How about when you're making the show? I had Patricia Heaton on the show last year when her book came out. Very funny book also. I asked her this question. I'm curious what your answer is. Do you think since the show has been on for so many years, what is it, 11 years now?
No, seven.
Seven. I'm kidding. 7 years the show's been on, and it's a huge hit. When you get that audience in there in the studio, they're on your side. They are ready to laugh raucously.
Oh, absolutely.
At everything. Do you think it's too easy sometimes?
No.
No?
No. They're onto us. You have to keep ahead of them. Otherwise, you won't get the laugh.
Interesting. Because Patricia said that she thinks that sometimes it is a little bit too easy. She'll say lines or there'll be moments in the script that aren't really hysterically funny, and the audience kind of overreacts a little bit too much. You disagree?
Well, they don't for me. I don't know. I don't feel that about it.
Hmm. Is it true that Marie is really based on the mother of, what's the guy's name, who's the showrunner? Ray Romano.
Phil Rosenthal.
Phil Rosenthal. Is it really?
And also Ray Romano, yeah.
Both their mothers.
Yeah.
And have they come to the set and compared notes?
Oh, yes, often.
Do you compare notes with them?
No, I don't dare.
Do they ever come up to you and say, I would never
They love what I'm doing. They don't realize it's them.
Do you have any input into what Marie says, or are you just doing what's on the scripted page?
No, what my input is the choice of and how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I were to do it, for instance, this is my voice. I have a deep chest voice.
Right.
But that's not what Marie says. She speaks, and she speaks like this. Are you hungry, dear? So it's up there all the time, and it's not aggressive that way. It's not frightening. She's all those terrible things. She is a control freak and an intrusive and meddlesome person. But she loves them.
Mm-hmm. Was that you that developed that for her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
After all these years in the business, how much direction does Doris Roberts need?
Very little.
Basically, they say, okay, we need you to stand here and walk here, and you can do the rest, right?
Yeah, but every once in a while, if they give me directions that's good, I take it.
Can I ask you about another show that you worked on years ago, sure. Remington Steele?
Oh, yeah.
Another terrific show. You played Mildred, and you write in the book about at least one episode where you really were allowed to shine and then didn't like what they did because of the way they lit you, which people can read about in the book. But what you don't write really about is this guy, Pierce Brosnan, who was Remington Steele and is now James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
But while the show was going on, he was offered the opportunity to go and be Bond, and he didn't. And what was the reason behind that? Do you know the story?
He was, oh, sure. We, they have a time in which to pick you up and begin a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
And we had not received our new contracts. And that night, at 11 o'clock at night, there was a knock on each one's door with the new contract. So he had a contract with NBC. He could not be released from NBC. But then NBC said, I will release you to do Bond, but then you have to come back and finish Remington Steele.
Mm-hmm.
And Covey Broccoli said, no, I'm not going to make you a major movie star and then put you back on television for free.
Uh-huh.
So that's what it was about.
So he,
but finally he got it.
He wanted to go. The producers of the movies wanted him to go. NBC wasn't sure about the show. Did the show come back that fall with him?
Only for 6 episodes.
And then it was gone, and his shot at Bond at that time was lost, and
right.
had to wait like 10 years before it could come around.
But it all worked out fine for him, really.
Was it a tough
think about it?
Was it a tough time around there, not knowing if the show's going to come back and if the you know the lead is going to be gone?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I would imagine that's incredibly tough. Now, the other thing I read in the book is about your little black book. This little black book in your purse.
Uh huh.
Is it true that you carry this around and it's not just a little address book? It's actually people who you've played the mother of through the years?
Oh, absolutely.
Name some of the people who, in various projects, you have played the mother
of. Okay, Billy Crystal twice.
Mm-hmm.
And My Giant, and also in, oh dear, what was the television series?
Soap?
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Soap. Robbie Benson in California Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Bette Midler in The Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Lavin in Alice.
Weren't you in The Heartbreak Kid as Charles Grodin's mother?
Oh, absolutely, as Charles Grodin's mother.
Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Through all these years, you were kind of the go-to mom, weren't you?
Right. I'm the mother of them all, Paul.
Yes, you are. like I say, I'm a big fan of the show, and the book is a wonderful read, too. It's called Are You Hungry, Dear? Life, Laughs, and Lasagna, a memoir by Doris Roberts. Thanks for your time today, Doris. I appreciate
it. Okay. And it's a great Mother's Day gift.
You know, I was just going to mention, well, a week and a half to go till Mother's Day. Here's the ultimate mom telling mom stories. Perfect. Thank you, Marie Barone, Doris Roberts.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
This is the Big 550 KTRS.